2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. I'm going to read down through verse 18, but it says this: but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, so that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we, which live, are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Verse 17 is where I want to focus our attention today. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. With the help of the Holy Ghost for a few moments today, I want to simply preach to you the eternal weight of glory. The eternal weight of glory. Let's ask the Lord to speak to us. Father, thank you for your word that is living, it is alive, it is breathing, it is active. I thank you for your spirit that I sense in this house. I feel your presence here in a very real and tangible way, and I'm thankful that you are here. Thank you for these people. I pray that you would give us ears to hear today, eyes to see today, hearts to receive, and minds to comprehend what your spirit is wanting to speak to us about today. Thank you for this opportunity to be in your kingdom. We give you praise, and everybody say in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I think it is safe to say that all of us at some point in our lives can testify to the mercy and the grace of an almighty God that has never left us. He's never, ever forsaken us. Now, there may have been times that, I'll just speak for myself, may have been times when I walked away, many times that I questioned what he was doing in my life. But the truth of the matter is simply this: he has never walked away from me. Never. It was the psalmist that declared it so eloquently when he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup, it's just continually running over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I've come simply this morning to speak to somebody in this house and online and remind you that he is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And he is a present help in our time of need, even when it doesn't feel like it. And even when you and I may feel like he is a million miles from where we find ourselves, we can believe and we can have faith and we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he is there. He is Jehovah Jireh, the God that provides. He is the one that is constantly present. And it mattered not really how you may have walked into this house this morning. I believe that the presence of God is here. Jesus is here to heal and to deliver and to encourage and to set the captive free from doubt and addiction and depression and anxiety and uncertainty. If you've walked into this house today and you are in need of a Savior, there is a God in this place that can touch your life, fill you with the Holy Ghost, and you can be baptized in the lovely name of Jesus, and all your sins
sins can be washed away. You can put your trust. You can place your faith in the one that has never lost a battle. He is the victorious King of glory. Amen. You've come to the right place at the right Sunday for a miracle to happen in your life, your mind, your family, and your body. That's the kind of God that I serve today. He is more than enough.
In our text today, we encounter the Apostle Paul writing one of the most comforting yet conflicting passages we find in the entirety of God's Word, just so we can capture the context of what Paul is trying to drive home for us today. I want to walk through this passage for just a few moments because I firmly believe that God has some revelation that he is wanting to unpack into our hearts and minds here today. And the reason I know this is because God delights in working in us to do of his good pleasure. He doesn't want anyone to perish. He doesn't want you and I to walk out of here without an understanding of why some things may be going on in our life that are currently going on. And he wants you to know the purpose behind everything that you may be facing in your life. So Paul reaches out in verse number 7 and says these four words that grip me when I read it each time. He says, "We have this treasure." Now, before we can dive into the rest of this text, let's talk about this treasure for just a minute. This treasure was not something that he was referring to that was monetary. It was not gold, it was not silver, it wasn't jewels, it wasn't diamonds, it's not the lottery ticket that you have in your wallet. It's not your real estate holdings, it's not your 401k or your Roth IRA. This treasure is eternal. This treasure that he is speaking about is something that is sacred. It's holy. This treasure that Paul is trying to get us to get a firm grasp on, it's the glory of God. It's the same glory that descended on the tabernacle in the wilderness. It's the same glory that covered Mount Sinai when Moses received the commandments. It's the same glory that fell in the temple that Solomon built. Amen. That was so thick. Amen. So majestic that the priests couldn't even continue ministry. What are you saying, Brother Sergeant? I'm saying this glory that Paul is talking about, it has no limits. This glory doesn't have any quotas. Amen. This glory has no boundaries whatsoever. And Paul says, we have that kind of treasure, that kind of glory, that kind of power in earthen vessels. Now, I know y'all are holy and got it all together. I'm probably preaching to the wrong crowd today. I know you woke up this morning singing the praises of God, speaking in tongues, and walking on sunshine. But there may be a few of us in this house today that woke up with a bad attitude. Don't raise your hand, husband, about your wife. Don't do that. You'll end up looking like this. I was not born this way. Just kidding. My wife's not here. You may have woke up with a bad attitude on the wrong side of the bed. Mistakes that you made yesterday that have upset you. You're angry with the situations that are going on in your life. Anybody catching what I'm trying to throw out here for a minute? This glory, this power is placed inside of us, earthen vessels, vessels with issues. Vessels with problems, vessels that are cracked and flawed and marred and messed up. Why? Why does God take something so holy, something so precious, so valuable, and place it into weak human flesh? I think it's because he wants you and I to get something. He wants us to understand, I can work with anybody, he says.
I can work through anybody. I want the excellency of the glory, God says, to be about me and not about you. That ought to make some of us slap happy on a Sunday. God doesn't need you for you to get all your ducks in a row before he starts filling you with his glory. God doesn't need you to have it all together before he says, well, now I can finally do something with that person. No, he puts treasure into your frail, fractured, and faulty lives so he can show you and I, when I come through for them, when I do a miracle for them, when I heal their body, when I put their marriage back together, when I save their children, they're going to know it had nothing to do with them and it had everything to do with him. That's the power of God I've come to declare. He's not limited by your mess. He's not limited by your pain. He's not limited by your hurt or your circumstance. That is so far flung out of control. No, he is content dealing with people that have glory inside of earthen vessels.
Now, I may be preaching to somebody today that needs to get this. You may have made a mess of things, and if you can just surrender, if you can just recognize that God wants to deposit something into the mess of your life, amen, even with the choices that you have committed and you have made, I believe this. If God can put treasure into earthen vessels, then God can turn anything around. God can rewrite your story, amen, but you and I have got to surrender, and we've got to recognize, God, you are in control. Is it going to be easy? No. Will it change the situation overnight? Probably not. Not. But the Bible tells me that they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. Hello. Sometimes you got to take your hand off the wheel, Carrie Underwood. Maybe I wasn't supposed to say that. And you got to let Jesus take over. I'm not smart enough, folks. I know y'all are, but I'm not strong enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not powerful enough to fix things on my own. But this thing about earthen vessels just gets a hold of me. And there is a reason that Paul launches into this discourse in verse 7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. And he goes from that treasure residing in those vessels into verse 8 when he says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. What's he trying to get across? He's trying to get you and I to recognize you may be troubled, distressed, perplexed, but guess what? You're never in despair. You may be persecuted, but God hasn't forgotten about you. You may be cast down, but that treasure in you, that glory residing in that earthen vessel, that has the power to sustain you. You will not be destroyed. I've come to preach a word to somebody. I know what the devil may have told you last night, but I also know a God that said, it ain't over yet, honey. Amen. You will not be taken out. Your marriage will not end in divorce. Your child will come back to God. Your body will be healed. That cancer can be taken from. Amen. Come on, somebody. Amen. There is a God that says, it ain't over. I'm still working. I'm still moving. I'm still blessing. I'm still touching. I'm still renewing. I'm still reviving. Your pastor showed me around everything that you guys have done in this building and what you're preparing for and all the good things. And I went back to the room after the men's event yesterday and after doing a very spiritual thing, I took a nap. I feel more Holy Ghost when I get up from a nap. Now, don't you all do that right now. I'll be done in a few minutes, I promise. But I got to thinking about what God has done and got to just writing some things down and felt like this church is experiencing one of the greatest moments in its history.
And you're standing on the brink of unparalleled revival and growth and miracles. And I believe that God's going to answer every miracle you've requested. It's here. It's happening. It's continuing to happen. Amen. But I know also that every time there's a miracle and every time there's a blessing, it always comes at the expense of struggle and affliction. Glory always does. Sometimes the things we go through, the things maybe this church has faced, the things that maybe your family has faced in recent months and years, that is, if we'll fully grasp it, that is the pathway, the promise, and the process to what God is doing. Your greatest impact, your greatest future is ahead of you. I wish glory could come from another realm, but it comes through the tragedies and the trials of life. This is why James would declare to us, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith, that's what's working patience. But he said, let patience have her perfect work. Why? So that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. He says, count it all joy when you start going through what you may be going through, because that is what is producing. That is what God is using to work in you, to form something in you. Hear me today, difficulty always gives birth to destiny. So in the middle of your pain and your trial, when everything is spinning so far out of control, know this, maybe God is using the crucibles of life to prepare you for some promise that he has, for a possession that he has, for a purpose that he has. Even Peter would go on and begin to declare, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. That simply means that God is working. It ain't over yet. He's forming and shaping and preparing you for something greater. I know, as we sang earlier, some of us may be weeping through the night, but don't just give up yet. Looks like I can see the breaking of day. Joy is coming in your morning. Light is coming into your dark night. Strength is coming. Hope is coming. Peace is coming. Power is coming. Amen. That's what God does. The last 5 years, my wife and I's life, we have lived in this passage. And I have gained strength from it even when I have not understood everything that God has brought into our lives and even some of the things that we are currently facing. A few months ago, well, it's been about 6 months ago now, I felt very drawn to begin writing the new book that took me on a little bit of a journey of revelation from this passage that I was telling Pastor yesterday. I felt like this. I wrote a chapter that is the title of this message here, and God just said, I want you to take that and form it into a message, and I want you to preach it. And so as I begin to dig it out and begin to pray over it, more and more begin to be revealed as I looked at the precious word of God. I believe God wants to help somebody in this house. Paul goes on and says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. And then verse 17 just sticks out to me. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. What are you saying? You and I don't have to faint because there is a purpose to what God is doing. You don't have to give up. You may feel weary and about ready to throw in the towel, but hold on. Why? Because Paul says your light affliction. Brother Sergeant, appreciate what you're saying, but what I'm going through right now, it don't feel real light. It's kind of heavy. I'm being crushed. You may be sitting here saying, I can't take it much more. I know I get it, but Paul is not done dropping knowledge on us. He says this light affliction, this trial you're facing, this trouble that may have come into your life, it is but for a moment. He is saying it won't be there forever. It won't last forever. We know Solomon said that seasons come and seasons go. There's a time and a purpose for everything under the sun. I know it feels heavy right now, but Paul is trying to let us know it is light and it is momentary, but it pales in comparison to what it is developing and what it is producing in your life. That's why he says we're not going to faint. We're not going to just go on and worry about the outward man that is perishing. Something is happening. I am being renewed. This light affliction that I'm going through, it's but for a moment, but something is happening. Some of you are getting deeper revelation than you've ever got before. In the middle of the trial that you're in right now, there's a reason that God does that. Amen. Because what you are facing, amen, Paul says, is being compared to the weight of glory. What you're going through, amen, what you're facing, when God gets done with it, it'll be so great. It'll be so effective. It'll be so eternal. It will not fade. It will not last just for a little while. It is eternal. It's so intriguing to me that he takes light affliction and pairs it with the weight of glory. He's trying to get you and I to see. He's not trying to minimize your pain. He's trying to magnify your future. He calls our afflictions light and momentary. That's not Paul being dismissive. That's Paul dropping perspective. Because when you compare what you're going through to what with God is building in you, there is no comparison. I know grief is heavy at times. I know pain gets heavy at times. I know disease seems like a burden. I know loss has a weight, but glory has a greater weight. Glory has a greater weight. This is not glory like fame or attention. This is eternal weight. This is substance. This is depth. This is purpose that will outlast anything you're facing. And God says, I am forming that in you. So I think sometimes, and I'm just going to be me here today, I think sometimes the things that we think disqualify us, our disabilities, our disappointments, the delays that we're going through, maybe a divorce, whatever it may be, those are the very things that God uses to deepen our capacity for glory. Hear me. Those cracks in your life are not there to disqualify you. They are there to make room for grace to shine through. And God may be shining through some families in this church right now in ways that you never expected. But what will come from this time and season will be nothing short of miraculous. So don't faint and don't give up. Don't throw in the towel yet, because God is taking glory and putting it into your frailty and saying, watch what I can do with a family, with a couple, with a young person, with a mother or father. I'll shine my glory through their disappointments. I'll shine my glory through their disabilities. I'll shine my glory through their problem, so that the excellency of the glory may be of God and not of us. I know we've only been here one other time, and you're getting used to me, and I'm getting used to you, and you know a little bit of my story, but I remember when I was about 9 or 10 years of age and dealing with being born the way that I was, with one arm, extremely handsome, but one arm. I've been in services and said that, and not even my wife said amen. There were times, I'll just be honest, there were times I questioned God. There were times I'm like, come on, Lord. Why am I shorthanded? Why am I the one that can't join the sign team? Because people only get half the message. It's like he's stuttering. I'm picking up every third word.
I remember, I'll never forget, camp meeting, about 11 years of age, McCall, Idaho. I was saying, okay, God, come on. You could heal me. You could do a work here. You could work through this. Last year I was walking through General Conference going to find my wife and my kids, and I passed an evangelist that came to a church when I was 5 years of age in Salinas, California, Brother Daryl McCoy. And Brother McCoy stopped me because I saw him, and I walked over, and he said, I got something to tell you. And I said, well, I got something to tell you. I'm writing a children's book, and it's got a story about you in it. And he is an evangelist, came when I was five, and I couldn't clap, so he made me some spoons. Anybody seen those spoons? Some of you? No? You are uncultured. Or you don't like bluegrass, one of the two. But man, he made me a set of spoons, and Brother John's, I'd sit there in church. I should have been a rapper. I mean, I'd have my own rap name, Vanilla Iced Latte. He told me a story that I'd never heard. And I'm going to try to do this quickly because I am getting to a close here in just a minute. He said, in that revival, a lady, it was a 10-week revival. My mom and dad were assisting Brother Henry Moore. They were also leading the youth. In that 10-week revival, 100 souls came to the Lord, filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in 10 weeks. It was amazing. It's an amazing revival. He said, this lady shows up. She's got 2 weeks to live, he said. She's battling cancer, and the doctor said, you just got just a couple weeks. She came because she wanted healing, and Brother Moore turned to, she experienced the Holy Ghost and was wanting to get baptized, and at the end of a service, and Brother Moore turned to Brother McCoy and says, I want you to baptize her. And Brother McCoy says, hey, listen, I try not to do that. I'm an evangelist. He goes, no, that lady is here because she heard of what God was doing through you in this revival. He said that when he went to baptize her, the Lord spoke to him and said, tell her not only will her sins be washed away, but I'm going to take cancer out of her body. And guess what? God did. God healed her completely. All cancer gone. It was amazing. But Brother McCoy said this. I've never told this story in a setting like this. He said, I watched you come to the altar as a five-year-old boy with tears streaming down your face, your arms lifted. And you didn't care who was around. You would say, God, could you give me a hand? And nothing happened. He said, and I wrestled with God over it. And both of us at this point were standing in the exhibits at General Conference, tears running down our face. And I said, I know why he didn't heal me. Look at what God has done. Through this, we have this treasure. Folks, I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what problems are happening in your life right now. But hear me, what is going on in your life is not working against you. It is working for you. That affliction is producing. That sorrow is forming. That limitation is building something. Now, there will always, my wife says it all the time, there will always be a divine return on our pain. I know that burden you didn't ask for, and that diagnosis you never wanted, and that delay that keeps you waiting, and that heartbreak that keeps you in the prayer room on your knees. I know it's heavy at times, but it's not empty, and it's not wasted, and it's not meaningless. It is doing something invisible, internal, and eternal. It's forging something far more glorious than anything you could have lost. It is creating in you something weightier than your wounds, and deeper than your worries and doubts, and stronger than the storms you're facing. Hear me, hear me. That is the paradox of the kingdom. Because the weight that you and I carry today can produce the glory we get to walk in tomorrow.
all over this house. Stand with me if you will. So don't despise the heaviness. Don't curse the weight. Don't scream at the darkness. Don't run from the process, because God is working in the middle of it all. It's the eternal weight of glory. Our final moments here today, Jesus said this. He said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. There's some of you that have walked into this place, and for years you have carried the shame, the guilt, and the failure, and the fear. You've walked in here with doubts. Today, in the next few moments, you can lay it down, because what may feel like affliction is actually preparation. What feels like breaking is actually God doing something in you that's never been done before. Pain produces promise. Sufferings are what God uses to form glory. So don't run from the weight. You can bring it to Jesus. You can let him take what's heavy now and turn it into something eternal and effective. The Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians, I believe, chapter 12. He goes to the Lord one day. He has this messenger of Satan, thorn in the flesh, sent to buffet him, to agitate him. He goes to the Lord. He says, hey, God, I was wondering if it's possible. Could you remove this thorn? I feel like I could do so much more for you, Lord. I feel like I'm being limited by what I'm dealing with, this thorn in the flesh, whatever it was. We're not sure what it was. It could have been a physical deal, could have been other people. Hey, who knows what it could have been? But it was something that felt heavy in Paul's life. So he prays, and he gets nothing. Not a word. The apostle of Revelation, the heavens are brass. He's like, God, where are you? I don't know if it was the next day, the next week, the next year, the next month. I don't know when it was, but Paul's back in prayer. Hey, God, you remember that prayer I prayed about the thorn? I'm back again. God, I just want to know, could you take this from me? I can't handle this much more, God. God, I wish that you would relieve me of this. Nada. Zilch. Nothing. Not a word. I don't know if Paul was scratching his head. I don't know what he thought. But then he comes back. I don't know if it was the next month, the next year, the next week, the next day. I don't know, but he comes back a third time. Hey, God. It's really getting on my nerves, Lord. I feel like I could do so much more in the kingdom if you would just remove this thorn. Finally, God speaks. He says, Paul, and I'm paraphrasing, I'm not going to remove this from you because of the abundance of revelation that I have given to you. I've got to keep this there. But I tell you what I will do. I'll give you grace that is sufficient. Can I put it this way? I'll give you glory that'll help you make it another day. And tell you what, I'll add a little extra bonus to it. I'll let you begin to recognize that when you're at your weakest, that's when I'm at my strongest. Can I preach to somebody who has felt that thorn? Can I talk to somebody who has felt like just about ready to give up? You don't have to give up. His grace is sufficient for you. Again, forgive me for a personal reference, but do you know how many times when I was younger I went to God, come on, Lord, come on. I would just like to be able to clap. I would just like be able to be normal. And yet God refused. Why? Because it's producing. It's working. It's opened doors I can't even begin to describe. It's helped people that I can't even begin to number. Not because of who I am, but because of the grace that is sufficient. It's the eternal weight of glory. It's the eternal. I wish we would throw our hands in the air, and I wish we would talk to God right now. The Holy Ghost is in this house. The Holy Ghost is here to minister to you.